Hi, and welcome to the Rare Business Podcast. My name is Adrian Swinsko, and I'm a consultant, advisor, researcher, and writer on all things related to customer service and customer experience. Through this podcast, I seek out and interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, business and tech leaders, and leading thinkers about what it takes to build organizations that produce better outcomes for both customers and employees in this fast-moving modern age that we live in. If this is your first time listening to one of these interviews, then welcome. And please do dive into the archives at adrianswinsko.com, as I've now completed over 250 of these interviews in the last few years. If this is not your first time listening, then thank you for returning, and I'll aim to do a good enough job to keep you coming back week after week. Anyway, that's enough from me right now. Let's get into the interview. So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have the Chief Marketing Officer of Zendesk, Jeff Titterton. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm great. Thank you, Adrian.
So Jeff, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and also a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm CMO of Zendesk, and I oversee all of Zendesk's marketing function globally. We're very much a global company. So more than 50% of our revenue is outside of the US. So we have teams all over the world. I have worked in technology for more than 20 years. I'm getting a little gray around the temples. I spent my first 15 years at startups. And then more recently, I worked at Adobe in the Creative Cloud division. And then now at Zendesk for the last 2 years. I have actually known Zendesk for a long time. So I used Zendesk at the startups I worked at. It really was at the center of our customer experience. And then at Adobe, there were a lot of different teams that use Zendesk in their day-to-day work. So been a big fan of Zendesk. So it was a real joy to join the team a couple of years ago.
Right. So you were a member of the congregation and then you joined the tribe.
Exactly.
Excellent. So the thing that I wanted to talk to you about today, Jeff, was that you've recently published a new report, the Zendesk Customer Experience Trends Report, now, which has been around for a few years now. So can you give us a little bit of background about it and also kind of like what some of the main headlines of the report, what you found and what sort of like stood out and what's new, for example?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. The Zendesk Customer Experiences Trend Report is basically a report where we take data from 45,000 of our companies that are using Zendesk, and then we combine that. Our researchers and our data analysts combine that with results of a variety of surveys and focus groups, gauging attitudes of customer service managers, customer service agents, and consumers from around the world. Right. So we take all that data, we bring it together, and then we look at the trends in customer support and customer experience. And it's a really interesting year this year. It's obviously customer experience has been radically changing over the last few years, as you know.
Yeah.
But we're seeing customer expectations going up and up and up, and businesses struggling to meet that demand and mm-hmm. trying to use technology to meet that demand. So this was a really interesting report for us because we got to really see how the disparity between those customer expectations and the businesses that are trying to meet those expectations.
Okay.
So the report there's kind of five key points here that we took away from all this analysis. So the first is around those customers' increasing expectations, right? And customers are expecting seamless, fully integrated omnichannel support. And omnichannel support is an industry term. What that really means is no matter what channel I'm talking to you on, whether it's email, phone, web, et cetera, I want to have one continuous, seamless conversation with you, the brand. I don't want to have to repeat myself. I want my issue solved very quickly. And so this is a key learning, is that this is now considered table stakes. Customers are really expecting to have this no matter what. And they are willing to switch channels very quickly if they're not getting the response they need. So 85% of customers that we surveyed said they'd use a different contact method if they didn't get a response to their initial request. And 44% of those will wait less than an hour. So that need to meet that demand is increasingly high. And businesses are doing this increasingly, but they're not quite where they need to be, frankly.
Mm.
Second big trend is around data. And a critical thing that we are observing in our own business and also that this report validated for us is that to create a better customer experience, leading businesses are investing in open, flexible platforms that are powered by connected customer data. And that's really important. And the reason that's really important is that we're moving from a world of siloed data where customer service teams were only seeing the data that they captured, right? Mm. Oh, this person wrote into me. Well, that doesn't really meet the needs of customers who are in this world of connected data, social, et cetera, and standing on a street corner and can switch to another brand at will. So we need to bring together more data to help agents provide a really seamless, personalized experience to customers and to solve their questions quickly. So this is a big opportunity to use data for good, not data for bad, right? So this is a big trend that we're seeing. And what we see there is that companies are starting to do this more, particularly digital native companies, that by which I mean, you know, the startup companies, the companies that started in more recent times are ahead of the curve using APIs, using third-party apps and integrations, et cetera, to their benefit.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge trend that we're observing that, of course, we at Zendesk are working to help customers with our own Sunshine platform.
Sure.
Okay. Third big learning here is around proactive engagement, that businesses can improve their customer experiences with proactive engagement. And proactive engagement, again, another industry term, but what do I mean by that? And I'm a marketer. As a marketer, all I do is proactive engagement, right? I think of things to market to my customers. I want to get them this message. But customer support teams have traditionally been more reactive.
Sure.
And what we're seeing is a trend towards proactive engagement for support teams, especially using, again, data and technology to their advantage. So support organizations are increasingly saying, hey, I can anticipate a customer's problems and I can solve those problems before the customer even knows they have a problem. And that, of course, is going to free my agents up to do more challenging work, more reactive work that's coming in. So I can use technology to actually help the customer before the customer knows they have a problem. And there's many examples of this. We can think in our own lives. I had a really unfortunate example of trying to fly to Amsterdam 2 weeks ago that took me 30 hours to get there because of a variety of mechanical failures and bad weather, etc. But the positive experience for me was actually that my airline was proactively communicating to me ahead of the curve, telling me about the challenges that were coming.
Right.
Made for a much better user experience for me, right? Like, you know, sure, I wasn't happy. It took me 30 hours, but that was a good user experience. I then arrived at my hotel only to find out they had canceled my reservation, even though I had confirmed it the day before. That's a reactive, poor customer experience, right? I'm tired. I haven't showered in a long time, and I show up. And they have never emailed me, never SMS'd me, never done anything, right? So you see that variance there between those two experiences. Customers are expecting the former. They're expecting proactive engagement. What we're seeing is companies are increasingly doing that.
Yeah.
We're also seeing that customers are really open to this. 90% of customers say they're either in favor of this or they're really neutral about it. So they don't mind you proactively communicating with them. And the other trend we're seeing here is that companies are doing this more, but they're not doing it as much on truly proactive support, looking ahead, saying, I can anticipate this problem. They're still more doing it in a more of a marketing and sales way. So that's a big opportunity for
us. Right. So there's a distinction between sort of predictive type stuff and almost like next best offer type stuff and actually being truly proactive and being the sort of next best action or something that's going to be helpful.
Exactly. Exactly. And companies are starting to catch up there and they want to do it, but I think it's frankly harder. It's easier to just give them an offer, right? And I think that's people don't mind getting an offer or a discount, but really helping them with these problems in advance is the future that we're seeing here. And that's what the trend's about.
Yeah.
On that note, go ahead.
And I just think I was just about to go on a bit of a rant actually about kind of proactive service and around the whole sort of thing about it's been around for a long time. People kind of have been talking about data and predictive analytical kind of software will help with all that. But also, you don't necessarily need kind of like full strength kind of technology and kind of a massive database to be able to start on a more proactive mindset. And so I just excuse me, a bit of a side note around, blimey, I wish people would just get going with some of this sort of stuff because it's in their best interests.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, I think like an interesting thing, when I worked at Adobe, I worked with a customer service leader there who was very technology forward. And what we did is I ended up, because of course, as a marketer, I tend to have a lot of budget, right? More budget than a support organization would. I increasingly found myself funding her more to do proactive support, right? To get on more agents, to do more technology builds, to do proactive support, because I found the ROI was much higher to give her money to retain those customers that we'd already acquired and to have them engage and buy more than it was for me and my marketers to be buying new people at the top of the funnel.
Sure.
This is a trend we see, but again, it requires that a mindset shift.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of traditional companies are used to a reactive thing, which is, oh, how many inbound are we getting? What are we going to say back to them? How are we going to reduce our inbound flow? There's a mind shift going on. Again, more technology first companies are starting to say, hey, we have to do this. This is the future. Okay. So it's a pretty exciting time. But again, I agree. There's a lot more that needs to be done there.
Okay.
All right. Last two of the five, the trends that were from this report. One is, number four is, unsurprisingly, high-performing businesses are starting to use AI more, and they're more than twice as likely as lower-performing organizations to be using artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, it's in the news constantly. I think if you Google it, you've got a zillion news articles about it. But it is really happening now. And Gartner estimates that by 2020, a quarter of all customer service interactions are going to involve some form of AI technology. Uh-huh. And this is something, you know, you've talked to our folks before. Zendesk is invested in this. We have AI-powered tools like our AnswerBot tool. That helps resolve tickets faster, right? Yeah. And that's exciting. And what we're seeing is that AI can really help agents with automated actions, predictive analytics, chatbots, virtual assistants, etc. And it's not really about replacing human beings, right? This trend is really about how can we use technology to have agents able to focus on the higher end, more complicated tasks, and technology doing a lot to help people with self-serve, to get the answers they need very quickly, and also just help them just move quickly through on questions that have a lot of volume around the same question over and over.
Sure.
And then the very last trend we're seeing here is really around process and tools. And it all ties together with all this technology change and the customer expectation change. What we're seeing is big focus here on workflow and collaboration across teams being really essential. Mm-hmm. The report talks about this. It's something we all experience. Again, there's a change in customer expectations where customers are going from, yes, they want to have a seamless communication with you across channels, but they also want to have a seamless communication with you across teams. And that's a really big change and a big shift that we're seeing. Customers are moving away from, I'm talking to this team's customer service department or I'm talking to this team's sales department I'm talking to this company, right?
Yeah.
So I'm talking to this brand. And so the need for collaboration tools and what the best companies are doing is investing in these collaboration tools so they can have that communication, share data across departments and be much more successful in giving the customer the right response.
Right.
And then the last thing around this is that the best customer service teams are focused on their metrics. So they're using all this data, they're using AI, they're using all this analytics to help them be better, to provide better answers to their customers. And then they're measuring their own success. And this is incredibly important and something that we see, this report shows, the best companies are really heavily focused on metrics like CSAT, average handle time, et cetera, so that they can continuously measure and improve them.
Okay.
So that's the big five. That's the big five trends. It's a lot in there. It's a lot of really exciting stuff.
So let me drill in into, let me ask you a couple of questions and sort of drill into a couple of these things, if I may. I mean,
yeah.
First of all, was there anything in particular that surprised you? Whether they're kind of the big headings or kind of some of the subheading finding type things.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that surprised me. One is I see we show this in the report, is this continued underinvestment in mobile and social channels.
Okay.
So what surprises me is that the future has already arrived, right? It's time for us to catch up. Everybody's on mobile, everyone's on social all the time, and yet what we see is companies are not as up to speed on using these channels. They're still heavily focused on email, still heavily focused on phone. Those are really important channels and will continue to be so. But when you look at the data, younger people in particular are obviously migrating more and more to these channels. So businesses really need to move ahead here and catch up. And more digital first companies are doing that. And yeah. So we need to see that accelerate. So that was one trend that really surprised me. The other trend was around this proactive engagement. I have seen this over my time here and in my past have companies are increasingly doing this proactive engagement. But as I mentioned before, I think we need a step function up here in how companies are doing proactive engagement and really mapping that with that key data from the platform. So I think that connection hasn't been made yet. I think companies are saying, yes, let's do this, but they're still in the yes, let's do this phase, right, instead of the we're actively, proactively doing this. So I'd love to see that really accelerate. I'd hope to see that accelerate more in this report.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask about, additional thing I want to ask about, is that this the thing that you said right at the beginning about this, the widening gap between what customers are expecting and what companies are delivering, is that because, you know, like we've heard about before, is that, so say you've got a B2B company and they're sort of kind of taking it easy, not feeling the pressure, but actually their customers are, they think their competitors are, they're just ahead of their competitors, but actually they're not realizing is actually they're not competing with their competitors in terms of service and experience. They're competing with, the Amazons and the Disneys and the Apples of this kind of world type of thing. Is that what's driving the widening gap?
It is. So if you think about customer expectations are being fueled by leading brands like Amazon, Uber, Airbnb, all these brands that are built their entire business around customer experience, yeah, right? And so they said, my differentiator is amazing customer experience, and therefore I'll obsess about that. And that's a huge win. Well, the side effect of that is that customers, no matter if they're working, buying a t-shirt, or if they're working with your B2B company, right?
Yeah.
To your point, they have that same expectation. So customers have increasingly, and it's an accelerating issue, they're expecting things to move at an incredibly fast pace. When we look at adoption of customer technology, we see it happening faster and faster and faster. So like if you look at smart speakers, they only took 2 years to reach the same level of adoption that took television 13 years. So customers are evolving very, very quickly. They're also incredibly informed, right? So they have access to everything at their fingertips. And this is really important for brands to think about. So they're connected to each other, to friends, family, and also to technology and to information. So they have this immediate access. One of the things I always say to companies and think about is the switching cost, meaning the cost to switch to your competitor, has dropped to almost zero in many cases, right? And then the last thing is they're very, very empowered, right? So they can get all this help and access at their fingertips. So they're empowered and they want and expect more and more. So if you look at that fast, informed, empowered, and then you compare that to where companies are, and especially as you work in bigger and bigger companies, where they are hampered by process and old technology, et cetera, what you find is businesses are in a very different place. They want to keep up, but they're slow, they're disconnected, and they feel powerless. So things move very slowly, particularly in larger enterprises, but everywhere, really. They move much more slowly than the pace of customer expectation. The teams within are disconnected. They're not talking to each other as much. Mm. So teams each have their own view of what they need to do. They're matrixed, they're siloed. And so it slows them down from reacting to customers. And then because of this, people feel powerless. So they think, oh my gosh, it takes this long to make the change in the mobile app or this long to change our website. I feel powerless to help customers because their expectations are so high. So you see that big disconnect happening with customers with very fast expectation increase and companies that are focused on that and have led with that, setting higher and higher expectations, and then the rest of the world trying to keep up. So it's a big discrepancy. I think technology is here to help. So we see a lot of technology coming out that is really helping, right? Bring those two and close the gap between those two things.
I made a note of a couple of things that I spotted in the report that I wanted to ask you about. I mean, one part of the report, you say that you found that 40% of customers prefer to use search or help centers before contacting support, yet only 20% of support teams provide self-service. Now, I read that and I started pulling my hair out. Well, actually, it was a good job I had my hair cut really short, because then I couldn't grip my hair, because providing that sort of support just seems self-evident to me. I mean, like, it's a bit like, you understand your customers, understand kind of, well, understand yourselves. You know what I mean? It's almost a bit like, if you ask anybody what happens when they have a question these days, and most everybody would turn around and go, well, I'll just Google it first, right? Or right. I'll kind of Bing it, or kind of whatever you might, whatever search engine you want to use, whether it's DuckDuckGo or whoever. Because people want to do that, and then when things get complicated, then they might want to contact support. So providing that sort of support, self-service support, seems self-evident. So why are few companies on this? Because this is like, again, a bit like the proactive thing. This is like an aged issue that just doesn't feel like it's broken through as yet.
Yeah. I definitely hear what you're saying. And it's something that we advise all of our companies to get into self-service immediately, right? Because all of the data shows, yeah, you're not only solving what customers really want, right? All the data says they want this. Google first, to your point, like go in, just search and figure it out quickly, because there's so much access to data and information. But also invest in it, because it's going to reduce the number of inbound customer requests and enable your agents to focus on answering tougher questions and to continuously improving the experience. So it's an obvious win for companies, and something all companies should be doing.
But you also get an uplift on satisfaction and NPS and all that type of stuff as well, because people are like going, oh, you've answered my question kind of when I went in the place that I looked first, which is brilliant. And so people go, oh, there's a really positive washback from it as well. So it's
exactly.
Like, I mean, yeah. I almost wonder about what's the barriers to people kind of getting this right. Is it that there's a lack of empathy around trying to understand the customers and understand what the customers want? Or is it just people are so afraid of writing stuff down and that just stops them? I don't know.
It's closer to that. And when we talk to customers, what they say a lot is, we want to do this, we just haven't gotten around to creating the right content to do it. Because there is an upfront investment, right? To create the right content to solve customer questions. So it aligns back to that being in reactive mode discussion we had earlier, right? Yeah. Which is, if I am in a place where all I can do is keep up with the inbound flood of requests that are coming in and customers coming in on all these different channels, I'm not taking the time to move to proactive engagement. I'm not taking the time to proactively build out my self-serve, which is going to lead to happier customers, fewer customers calling me, et cetera, et cetera. So we see that as the gap. What we talk to customers about is, we urge them and we show them many, many case studies saying, you have to invest in self-serve. Like, we have our guide tool that our guide product enables to do this. And over and over and over, when they finally do it, they are so happy they did it. and their customers are happy and they get to do more. And then they end up putting more and more resources into it over time, because they say, hey, this is a virtuous cycle, right? Yeah. I can put more people on content. I can improve that content over time. I can then deflect more tickets, and I get a win-win-win for the customer, for me, etc. So yeah, it's a gap. It is closing, but companies need to push on that and invest in it.
Perfect. So then also wanted to go back into, you talked about right at the top of the call, you talked about rising expectations, but particularly expectations around about having a connected experience and this connected omni-channel sort of experience. And the thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I think it feels to me there's this myth around omni-channel and its meaning and how people understand it. And it feels like to me that some people say omni-channel, people think that it means every channel. And I wanted to get your view on that, because I actually don't think it is every channel. It's the right channels.
Yeah, I mean, the key there is, I think in early days of omnichannel, companies were like, oh, I got to be on every channel, right? That's not really where omnichannel is now. Yeah. It's not what Zendesk is focused on. we want to be on the channels that your customers are on. And so you should choose the channels that your customers are trying to reach you on, right? If you're a company serving young people in Brazil, you have to be on WhatsApp, right? And so you're going to want to use Zendesk WhatsApp integration. But really what omnichannel is about connected conversations,
right?
Right? It's about seamless conversations. What customers really want is to be able to reach you quickly on the channel they choose, and then to not have to repeat themselves and tell you the same thing they told you before, but to have you have all the context of the conversation. And, you know, we often talk internally here about our own personal conversations. So if I'm talking to my daughter, my teenage daughter, who is on, you know, she messages me with text, she sends me Instagram, she sends me emails, occasionally she'll take a phone call. You know, if I look at all those things, we have it, obviously, because it's one-to-one, we have that seamless conversation thread because we're only talking to each other, right? So we know we can pick it up quickly. But in a customer service interaction or customer experience interaction, what you see is you're going to have different agents picking up the ball and continuing to work with the customer. So they need all the data on what that conversation was previously. And so that's what omnichannel is really about. And we have our Zendesk Suite, which is our omnichannel solution that brings together our top channels into one seamless threaded conversation for customers and agents. And that is where the big win is that seamless conversation. It's less about tons and tons of channels.
Yeah, I know. Because and I say this a lot, I have this analogy around my brother. Let me start at the beginning. So I know that there was a piece of research that was done by Dimension Data. I think it was back in, beginning of last year. And they did a whole big survey of large organizations, and they turned around and said that the average large organization serves its customers over around about an average of 9 different channels. And then that number was set to increase to about 11 over the course of the next sort of 18 to 24 months. But one of the challenges with that piece of data or that set of companies that they surveyed was they said that most of those companies said that, or rather only 8% of those companies admitted to having all of their channels connected. And that was the biggest frustration. It was that actually the lack of connectedness across all these channels. So you couldn't have that conversation. It was very bitty.
And yeah, so exactly.
It led me to think that, you know, is maybe a good way to think about it in terms of the process of adding channels is to think about that guy that you used to see in the circus when we were kids, the guy that used to spin plates. You remember that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a really useful analogy. It's almost a bit like, does he try and spin 9, 10, or 11 different plates right at the beginning? And you're like going, no, he starts with 1 or 2, and then he gets a helper, and then he asks 3 and 4, and so on and so forth, until you get good gradually, or you get great. You work up to great, and then you work up in terms of it sustaining it, rather than just going, we're just going to add everything and be average at everything, because that just doesn't help anybody.
Exactly. And you're actually better off spinning 7 plates, to use your analogy, and having them all connected together than spinning 9 plates and having none of them connected. So companies should invest in an integrated conversation first, and then they can layer on additional channels with integration as they go.
And then maybe kind of even retire some channels as well, because that's what I don't see a lot of companies doing, is actually actively choosing to retire channels because it doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, know your audience, know the channels they want to be on and where they're going, and focus on those. If a channel has no one using it and it's just too much to maintain, you should absolutely shut it down.
Okay. So one final question on some of the detail on the report is that I think it was on page 11 or 12 or something. I mean, you talked about it in this, but with this background of rising customer expectations and also this idea that we, you know, customers want, you know, a personalized or customized sort of response to them. I know that there's this, I think Forrester has talked about it, is this kind of paradox or tension that's emerged between what customers want in terms of support. They want that personalized, proactive sort of support. There's also this tension around the sort of data that they're comfortable sharing, particularly when it comes to younger people like millennials and you know, their peers. I mean, is that going to be a growing tension, or how are you seeing companies sort of addressing that?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's one that everybody's focused on, right? Obviously with the emerging data and privacy laws, but also with people wanting to just create a good customer experience for their customers. What we've noticed companies are doing, I should say what we've noticed good companies and great companies are doing is really saying, is this data going to be valuable to me to help my customer, right? So they're always putting that customer hat on first and saying, if I'm going to use this data, will it make my customer's day go better? Will it help solve their problems? If the answer is not a resounding yes, they probably shouldn't be using that data, right? So they're trying to be very selective and say, just having data access for the sake of having data access is not valuable. What's valuable to me is to take data that's going to improve the customer experience and bring that in, obviously in a smart, you know, legal, ethical way.
Of course.
To do that. But that is a tension that we're continuing to see. But when you talk to customers, to that your point on the paradox, they want that personalized experience. Mm-hmm. They want you to be helping them into having that connected conversation to be able to proactively answer their question. What they don't want is creepy, right? Yeah. I mean, frankly, they don't want, and we've all experienced creepy. We're in a world where there's a lot more creepy use of data coming on. You know, you go onto social media and you were just talking about something and all of a sudden there's an ad for that thing you were talking about out loud but didn't write down anywhere. You know, you're trending into an area where customers feel increasingly a little bit concerned, frankly, about what's going on. And so what we're really saying is use the data for good. That's the simple answer to the question.
Fair enough. And so you touched on this idea that the best companies or great companies are what they're doing around, particularly around the data. I mean, what else do you think that great companies are doing? I feel like, you know, so data and being very customer focused around their use of data, you know, particularly under that, under that question of, if it doesn't help our customer have a better day, then we're not going to use it. I mean, is there other sort of like principles that you're seeing emerge from great companies?
Yes, there are several that we see and that we're really trying to help accelerate. So one is really the end thing that customers want is lightning fast and accurate responses to their inquiries.
Mm.
No matter where they are. And we always say the thing of person standing on a street corner in some random city, they need to reach you and they need to reach you quickly and get their problem resolved very quickly. So companies are obsessing about that. They're using all of these things we talked about to their advantage. So they're using data to their advantage there. And again, in the force of good way, they're bringing that data together. They're collaborating across teams. And that's critical because bringing data together from disparate data sources and across different teams really helps them provide that lightning fast and accurate response. So that's a key trend we're seeing as we go forward. Another trend is that heavy investment in self-service. We already talked about that. Yeah. Often powered by AI, companies are saying, again, think like my customer. My customer doesn't really want to talk to me. They just want their question answered very quickly. Sure. I am going to heavily invest in that. And make that the number one way that people get their questions answered. And you'll see a lot of brands doing more and more innovative stuff online with that. Third is true personalization, and this is critical. I mean, it kind of ties to what we're talking about, but don't make people wade through any incremental information. If you're talking about self-serve, use the data you have available to you to serve them up the kinds of self-serve questions that they want. If they're calling in, have that data that enables the agent to quickly tell them, oh, I see your problem is, I can see these past three things you've done, I can help you very quickly. That personalization is really, you know, customers feel very gratified to get that. You know, again, when I use my example of my 30-hour trip to Amsterdam, every time I called, they would pull it up and they increasingly felt more and more bad, obviously, because they could see my stream of an entire day. But that was gratifying, right? Because you didn't have to repeat why you were so frustrated. So that true personalization is really critical. And again, the last thing, which you've already talked about, but is a big trend, is that proactive communication. Companies are that are leading here, you know, again, those Amazons, those Netflixes, those kind of companies are increasingly saying, I have to be proactive here. So the customer doesn't even know they had a problem. I solved it for them before it even happened.
Perfect. So Jeff, let's boil it down to brass tacks. I mean, let's boil it down for people that are listening in to this or reading the highlights, because you know that, you know, we talk about people kind of want the they want, you know, people want to learn, but they also want instructions. They want to make things to make it people make to make things simple for them. So if you were, if I was to say to you, somebody wants to improve their service or experience that they deliver to customers, what should be the first thing they should do? What's your best advice to them?
Yeah, I'll go quick here. I have a few key things I think companies need to do. So I'd say first and foremost is to immediately set up an omnichannel experience. It's the baseline. As I said, it's table stakes. Yeah. So if you're not doing it, do it. It doesn't have to be every channel. Look at your data, look at the channels that you your customers are reaching on, and then make sure you offer that integrated omnichannel experience as quickly as possible. That is where you should run to first.
Right.
Second, use data and your own metrics to set a baseline. This is something I tell my own marketing teams, but it applies very much to customer service and customer experience teams as well. How are you doing? You need to use that data and understand it. If you're not measuring your impact, you have no idea if you're doing good or doing evil. Right. So you need to set up that data, understand what's going on, report on it regularly, set KPIs, and improve it. You can improve it. Third, this is a little softer, but think like your customer. Mm-hmm. Everything you do should be oriented around how do I solve my customer's pain points. On that note, talk to your customers, survey them, have them in, learn where you're doing great and learn where your biggest pain points are, and then stack rank those pain points and knock them off, solve the biggest ones quickly.
Sure.
And then the last thing, which is an enabler for all this, and I would start with all those things because they're frankly easier, but the last thing is to invest in technology, invest in that automation, invest in self-serve and AI technologies, and invest in bringing in data from disparate sources to free your agents up to focus on continuously improving the customer experience. Mm. Technology is really your friend here. And it's your customer's friends too, again, if you use it in the right way, which I think most companies want to. The companies that are leading this revolution in customer experience are thinking this way, and that's what they're doing.
Perfect. So a couple final things before we kind of wrap up. I know you're a busy guy, but anything else that we've missed out that you'd like to add before I ask you one sort of addendum question almost?
Sure. I think the big thing that I'm personally very focused on is this evolution beyond channels to different departments. And this is something that we're really excited about here. And many companies are starting to think about how do I have a seamless communication across departments as well. Mm-hmm. We are not there in the world yet, right? We still have a lot of silos. But one thing that I think we're very excited about, we just launched a brand, called Zendesk Sell, which is a sales automation tool that applies all of the same kind of ease of use, agility, end user empowerment methodologies that we did for Zendesk, our support offering. The reason this is exciting, again, is you can see that future. To me, it's the beginnings of that future where you have that communication between departments that are talking to customers. So while we're not there yet, I think over the next 2 or 3 years, that's going to be something you'll really see as a trend emerging is, wow, we've got to really get on top of how we as a company and as a brand communicate.
Okay. So I don't know if this is related to that, but I know that this is my final question is that I wanted to ask you about Stellar Connect, because Zendesk has just recently made an investment in them. And is that sort of part of let me not second guess your kind of answers. Like, who are they and why did you invest in them? Why are you so excited about them?
Yeah, so Stellar Connect is a great partner to us and a company that we really like. So what their product does is it gives consumers an opportunity to provide detailed feedback about their customer experience. And that also gives businesses and their support agents individual and aggregated feedback they can use to improve their own performance, right? Okay. So this gets back to what I was just talking about, right? About measure, understand, know your customer. Stellar Connect is really focused on that and really at the center of it. As a partner, we integrate seamlessly together. That's something that they built an integration, and they were one of the first partners that actually integrated with our Sunshine CRM platform that we launched last fall at our Relate Global User Conference. So they've been partnering with us and very much leading ahead of the curve on this kind of work. So we're excited to invest in companies like Stella that are constantly looking to reinvent the customer experience space. They're a forward-thinking company, so it really dovetails into everything we just talked about.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's almost it feels like it's a mirror initiative, because you're very, very focused on the kind of the outwardly in terms of the service and the experience that you deliver, or you help companies deliver, which feels like Stella Connect is gathering data from the from customers, but also kind of how companies can learn to, so they can improve the employee experience, and how that then feeds through to service and customer experience as well.
Exactly. It can be a virtuous circle there too, right? So it's very exciting.
Perfect, Jeff. That's been super interesting. I love the different kind of trends, despite the fact that I'm sort of slightly frustrated that some of these trends are still trends, and people haven't got these things sussed as yet. But it's about banging the drum, and it's about kind of pushing the agenda and kind of urging companies to keep going. And I think your report provide some clear signposts around kind of what they should be thinking about and what they should be focused on. So first of all, congratulations on the report, and also on the success of Zendesk, because I know you guys are going gangbusters right now. But also just want to say thank you for sharing your time and your insights with us today. That's been brilliant. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. It was nice chatting with you.
Well, that's it for another interview. I really hope you enjoyed it. Now, every time I complete one of these interviews, I learn something new, and I try and incorporate that new learning into my writing, my speaking, my workshops, and the consulting that I do for my clients. If you're interested, you can find out more about how I work with clients over at adrianswinsko.com. But one final thing before I go, please consider heading over to iTunes or whichever podcast platform you choose to use, and do leave a review. Every little helps, as they say. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you for listening, and do listen in again. All the very best.